You're listening to The Training Dummies. With Rob.
Yes, I'd mana tap that.
And Daryl.
Flight attendant, me mug is empty.
Greetings and welcome to episode 115 of The Training Dummies, recorded on January 12th, 2016. My name is Daryl, and I'm still talking about video games on the internet. And despite what you may have heard in last episode, my main is still my shaman. And I even took that shaman through a mythic dungeon tonight just to prove it. With me this evening, as always, is my bro host, Rob. How you doing this evening, Rob?
Doing great, man. I'm doing really great. I did all my Kazakh chores, and now I got that out of the way. So, yeah, I'm doing awesome.
Right on. And with us this evening, we have, I'm not quite sure, I'd have to go back, but it's either a three-peat or four-peat guest, which brings her into probably the Training Dummies record books as the most we've had someone on the show. Let's give a warm round of applause for V from Ask Mr. Robot.
Hey.
How are you doing this evening?
Good. I had dinner. I'm happy.
That's
life's
always
easy.
Did it run Kazakh 11 times?
No.
So, yeah, you're doing real good. One of the privileges that you get as being a repeat guest this many times is you don't have to go through those awful interview questions anymore. So,
hey, there you go.
It is really
good. Graduated.
It is awesome to have you back on the show tonight.
Yeah, thanks for having me, and it's a fun topic, too.
It is a fun topic. You have written a couple of articles now for Blizzard Watch. Maybe a couple questions about that. So what's your involvement with Blizzard Watch now?
I love Blizzard Watch that they're, you know, starting their own thing, right? They broke off from AOL and it's all run pretty much on Patreon and some ads. So if you like them, you should donate a little bit, keep them running. Everyone loves a good fan site. So I approached them because, you know, I'll write articles on our own blog, but our blog really isn't the place for that. Because we don't do it regularly. Right. And so people would be like, oh, this is a really cool article, but they don't come back to our blog. So I was like, well, and we don't try to be a content site either. That's not where we make money. So I actually approached Blizzard Watch and said, hey, I have, you know, occasional articles I want to do, you know, do you want a partner and we can publish them on Blizzard Watch? And they said, yeah, that'd be great. So now I basically just do all of the research type articles that I normally would have done for our own site and then spend a lot more time editing them. Cause there's a lot more pressure.
Yeah.
When you're publishing on Blizzard Watch than like my own crappy little blog. So, nice. You know, what used to be like 2 hours is now like 2 days. and then submit them. Their wonderful editors do their magic and then they're published. So yeah. So I write like, you know, one every other week to one once a month.
Right on.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's awesome. At first I was reading the article and I didn't realize it was you that wrote it. And I was like, man. And I scrolled down to the bottom real quick. Cause sometimes I will read something differently depending on who it was. And
so, right. Like you have their voice in your head.
Uh-huh. I totally. Or you kind of feel like the perspective might be a little different. You know, if it's Rossi that wrote something, you can almost hear him yelling and, you know, just the warrior thing going on, or, you know, his funny, you know, his kind of his delivery, you know. Mm-hmm. And so I scroll down and I'm like, what, it's me, that's so awesome. So yeah, I'm like, yeah. And then Daryl said that he had hit you up a while ago to come on about this particular topic, but you know, we just kind of had to
holidays.
Get into holidays and whatnot. Mm-hmm. So yeah, we're here, we're doing it, we're ready.
Mm-hmm.
Excited. I guess since we're not doing an interview, did you have any other extra questions, Daryl, that you wanted to ask her?
I don't think so. I think we should just get right into this.
All right. That's a big topic.
Well, if... you're going to do a promo bumper here.
I didn't do a new one from last week, so I'll still
do it. If you guys have any questions or comments or want to find out how we're doing, we are active on Twitter. The show is at Training Dummies. I am at Rob Copeland, and Daryl is at I am a Warlock. Wait, no, what is that? Hand_TTD.
Right. Okay, so this article is on Blizzard Watch, and when I first read this, the first thing I thought is this would be awesome to discuss on the show with you. And so immediately I hit you up and said, hey, would you like to join us, as Rob mentioned? So now that we finally got you here on the show, do you want to just start with maybe an overview of the article and then we can get into the guts of it?
Yeah. So a bunch of you might have read it and a bunch of you might not have seen it yet. The idea is, you know, we do a lot of, you know, theory crafting work and deal with a lot of people over at Ask Mr. Robot. And we started to wonder, like, you know, some people very strongly believe certain things about the game. And so we've wondered, like, are we able to influence that? So just for fun, I tried to do as scientific of a survey as I could think of. And I put together a couple of questions. One of the questions ended up having a wording flaw, so I didn't end up using it. Like, it was not crystal clear.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why I didn't talk about the trinket one for those of you who took the survey. But the warrior one, I basically set up a scenario where it's like, hey, we're a raid team. And, you know, the fear warrior is underperforming by a little bit. And how, you know, he's using this talent. And then I left kind of like a blank spot right there. So it's like, here's the scenario. He's using this talent. And then what I did is I set up one of three different ways to present the information about that talent. So one of the ways was what I call the data statement. And the data statement said, you know, based on simulations, this talent is sometimes 0.5% better than the most popular one, or 0.5% worse than the most popular one, because this to back up, this warrior's using the not popular talent, the one that people say you can't use this one.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And then the second statement was based on guides. So I said, you know, the most popular guides all suggest this talent. One of them even says this is the only acceptable talent you can use, and the warrior is not using the acceptable talent. And then the third was based on mythic raiders. So it said the top 97% of players, or 97% of the top players, all use, you know, this talent, the one that the warrior is not using. So I took those three statements and then I randomly inserted them into this question. And so, you know, the survey engine just decided to pick which one went in. And so then I asked everyone the exact same question after that, and it said, can this fury warrior keep this talent? And this talent being the one that wasn't popular. And then I wanted to see what the differences were, right? So based on the statement you saw, what ended up happening? And so if people saw either the mythic statement or the guide statement, basically 50% of the people said, yes, you can keep it. 50% said, no, he has to switch, you know, because the guides or whatever say so. But if you saw the data statement, 80% of the people were like, it's close enough. Why can't he use it? And 20% said, no, he has to switch it. And then I also asked why, a nice open-ended question, and I had to go through about 2,000 responses.
Oh my goodness.
By hand. But I've noticed some things, like some, like five different kind of categories of responses emerged. And a couple of them ended up really interesting. So if you didn't see the data statement, if you saw the other two, I'd have to pull this up, but it was a very large number of people. I think it was 40% of people, said, no, you can't keep this talent. And the reason is because you're not doing what's best for the team. Some sort of team response.
Mm-hmm.
Except most of those team responses were really horrible. Like completely like, oh, you know, you're being selfish and I can't believe you're playing like this. Like, shame on you. Like, you know, these kinds of things. But if people saw the data statement, only 10% of the people said, well, you know, he should change it because that's what's best for the team. And, you know, a much smaller number of those were not quite so rude. So you drop, just by showing people the data statement, you drop this, like, toxic behavior from 40% down to 10%. So that was kind of a big finding. And that was just all based on changing the language behind this, right? So we looked at a whole bunch of other things. There's some other little nuances that the article talks about, but that's kind of the gist. And so what we were really coming out from that is basically saying, like, you know, it's fine that there's cookie cutter builds. But what's not okay is that a lot of these assumptions are being forced onto other players. Like, somebody would be like, well, I find this talent more fun. Well, what's happening right now is that, like, everyone says, well, the talent is horrible. Well, it's not horrible. Nobody just has the context that it's like half of a percent worse, right?
Right. <yeah. laughs>
And so that's kind of where I like opened up this like can of worms again. You know, the community's talked about this before, but, you know, I did all this research and opened up this can of worms that basically said, you know, maybe as us theory crafters, guide writers, people who make tools, we should think a little bit harder about how we present this data. Because apparently it can really affect people's views and how they interact with other players. So that's the gist.
You know, there's more often than not, there's some guy on some stream somewhere who says, well, take this talent because the other ones are bad. And if you take them, you're bad. And immediately, you know, that spreads like wildfire. And I think the only people that initially, not the only people, but the small group of people that go outside that box are the theory crafters who are purposely testing different talents and different combinations to see what they're going to get. And then, you know, we have a couple of people on our raid team that are, you know, I've looked at the numbers and I see this and I see that, but I just want to try this one. I want to see how it goes. And, you know, and we are the kind of guild and raid team that is like, as long as you're not being an idiot about it, take whatever talent you want. I don't care if you're showing up and putting in the honest effort, then I don't care if you take the passive talent. You know, if you feel like we're not hitting a wall because of you, then cool, right on, do your thing. Right. You know, so it's the cookie cutter thing came up a long time ago with the old talent system and Cataclysm, right? There was like one right way to do it, and that's it. And it cost you a lot of money if you didn't do it right, but
that's right. It did cost a lot of money to redo that, didn't it?
Yeah, the respecking and kind of went with the old, you know, you had the triple talent trees, and sometimes you wanted to go and get this one talent, but it was two or three tiers down, and you had to get that one, and it wasn't even in your tree, you know. And, you know, man, you could probably dig up a graphic from that and compare, like, some of those old ones. But so what do you think now? So you're getting a better response from people that are basically saying that, you know, if the question was worded more gently, you're getting a more forgiving response. Is that...
Yeah, and it's not necessarily more gently. It was just giving people the actual context.
Mm-hmm.
So our big push, you know, now and going into Legion, even on Ask Mr. Robot, is how can we learn from this lesson, right? You know, it's all about the context. You know, a guide might say this is the best option, but if it's the best option because it's only half of a percent better, well, maybe people should know that, right?
Yeah, right, right.
But then because they say this is the best option, you know, we're like... And it's not necessarily the theory crafters that are doing it. It's like all of these people interpreting it who then post on all these forums, and then it turns into, well, if it's not the best option, it's useless. And they'll start saying things like, well, this talent's useless. I don't know why you're using it. It's not useless. It's a half percent worse, right? Well,
there's a lot of things to consider, though, too. Like for many classes, like, okay, so this talent is, you know, quote unquote, the best option by Mythic Raiders. Well, maybe it is the best option if you are min-maxing, if you know how to fit that ability in within that 5-second window where this thing procs and your trinkets go off and you're using this buff and you're, you know, you've got all these cool cooldowns going and you know, if you're a warrior, if you're enraged and you use this and you're critting, otherwise that other talent that's right behind it, that's, you know, the half a percent behind it is way, way easier and you're, you know, your casual to normal to semi-hardcore player is going to get way more out of that other talent because, like, it's just, it doesn't take it out of you to try and, you know, eke out that extra half a percent.
Right, yeah. And there's actually a lot of theory crafters that really try to point those things out. Like, I know, like, Lasana and I think, like, Binkenstein, Sunnier Brew. You know, they all kind of try to, like, work that in, right? And then... One of the problems I know a lot of theory crafters have or guide writers have is they want to explain those sorts of things, but not be too verbose and also not have people criticize them that they're wrong, right? Like I know, Sunnier Brew wrote a nice response to the article I'd written and she was basically saying like, you know, I'll tell people some of the like off the beaten path things, or maybe I'll say this is easier to use and people will come in and criticize her so hard that she's like, well, do I really want to like deal with this every day or do I want to conform? And that's a really hard decision, right? Mm-hmm. And so I think a lot of this pressure ends up being put back onto the guide writers too from the whole community. Trying to figure out like what's the best way to cater to all the different audiences. And because like you say, like there's like a easiest to use for a beginner. And if you try to use something that's complicated and you're not ready for that rotation, you're going to do worse, even though, you know, a simulator says you'd do better. Well, yeah, I don't play like a simulator.
Yeah, totally. Well, our vision is pretty jacked up. I am not going to get out that extra, you know, whatever, 2%.
Rob and I have admitted many, many, many times on this show that we take talent sometimes just because they're passive. It doesn't matter if they're best or anything. It's because they're passive, and only because we don't have to think about it. It's just set it and forget it, and you're done. So, you know, and that many people might do that. It's a valid specking option, in my opinion.
Right. And, you know, what's interesting about that, like, I feel like a lot of this doesn't just stem from guides. It stems from all of the advice that you read on, you know, different forums and people asking for advice. Like, someone would be like, hey, here's my logs. I'm having trouble. How do I improve? And, you know, the backseat talent driver will show up and be like, well, you're using the wrong talents and using the wrong trinket, and they leaves. Well, that's not helpful. Nobody, like, it's not part of the, it's not part of the process to ask people, well, you know, how comfortable do you feel with complex rotations? Do you like on use versus passive? Like, I've been playing Warcraft for, you know, 10 years. I still prefer passive talents and passive trinkets. I admit it. Or if not, I have to macro it, right? And so people aren't even saying, well, if you don't like passive and you want to, you know, or if you don't like active, because you're just not good at using it, have you thought of macroing it? Like, that's much more helpful than saying you're using the wrong talent, you're using the wrong trinket, right? But that's not what's happening on these forums. And so I'm wondering if, like, we can change that by, I don't know, doing any number of things.
Well, even with the macro thing, I still have use 13 and use 14 macroed into half of my stuff. Just in just in case I get an on-use trinket. It's still there.
Yes.
On any character I pull up right now, I'll be able to find a few of those macros that I use all the time.
They're, stop me if I'm jumping into this too soon.
Go for it.
But we talked a little bit about the Legion alpha beta coming up, and you had mentioned before we started recording that a lot of folks are saying that the talent system that they're rolling out and that they're looking at, that the way it is hopefully going to address some of these issues. And I think it's due to breaking up the talents. So instead of being, you know, this level 75 talent tier being your CC and the level 90 talent tier being your AoE or you know, however it is, they're breaking up a lot of these talents and they're sprinkling, you know, well, here's a stun talent and here's a CC talent. Well, we're not going to put those on the same tier. And, you know, and here's all these, you know, self heals or, you know, whatever, however we categorize them. They're just breaking those up. So it's not going to be a question of like, here's three basically talents that serve the same purpose.
Figure out which one's better, right?
Good luck and don't be, and if you're bad, you should stop being bad. You know, like now it's like, well, you're kind of gone. Well, you know, I want this single target one and I want this one and this one and this one. And, in the way it's playing out on the alpha right now is that you don't need the dust or the little tomes. You don't need anything. Like when you go into your talent tree and you're looking through there, you click a talent and literally the second you click it, it's live immediately. Boom. There it is. There's zero effort at all in swapping talents. There's no, you know, there is no like managing anything. Like you just go and go, I want this one. I want this one. I want this one. And boom, it's all right there. So like even, I have recently started to try and swap talents out a lot more, even in between trash and bosses, knowing that, you know, if I go with this AoE talent during trash, it's going to be a lot easier for me to hold threat and to, you know, to do that. And then I can just swap back to my normal talent when we get to the boss again. It's going to be that much easier now. And I'm hoping that is a bit of a catalyst for people to, across the board, you know, obviously your high end raiders aren't concerned with the 2 seconds that it takes to swap something out. But I think in general, this will help people who are looking at the talent trees to go, oh, okay, you know, this is designed. This is the intention of this is for me to try new things and to swap them out on purpose. Like they want us to do this. Like
And I think one of the ideas we've had for just helping a lot of this is like right now, you know, the cookie cutter build assumes just one best build. And, you know, if you look at like Hearthstone or Diablo, there's names for, you know, decks or names for different crazy monk builds in Diablo. And so as silly as it sounds, I figured like, well, if we just give different spec choices a name, people will latch onto that and it'll become several viable options. Like, I don't know, I'm going to be the, you know, you can't ever kill me tank. which goes from max damage reduction versus the I really want to be a damager tank. You know, it's just like have different categories. And so it's interesting that with Blizzard changing this so that each set of talents has a real choice. It's not like you say like just the AoE talent tier. You actually probably will start making meaningful choices that might start, you know, giving people these different types of builds. And as silly as it is, just giving it a catchy little name, people will start repeating that, right? They'll start repeating it in forums, repeating it in non-different places. And I feel like that might give people more of a choice. Like, well, I like being the you-can-never-kill-me tank. And everyone knows what that means, right? They they aren't worried about your damage because you're like, dude, I'm playing the you-can't-ever-kill-me tank. Of course my damage sucks.
That's awesome. Yeah.
I know, like I'm really good at naming things. Can you tell?
No, well, that's awesome. I think I'm going to...
We're going to make that one catch on.
Good.
Well, even in like Heroes of the Storm, you know, there's like, okay, you've got warriors. Well, these guys are bruisers, and they're and they can take a bit of a beating more than a normal hero, but they can also put out some more numbers too. So I think like that kind of attitude and that kind of approach to, you know.
Yeah, that's, and Heroes is a good point. Like, you know, occasionally I'll still get yelled at in a game for building wrong, right? But all I have to do is be like, hey, I'm damage lily, and they're like, what? What? Well, because I gave it a name, I'm like, it's a thing.
Yeah.
Like, damage lily, check it out. Right? Or damage furion is another favorite. People don't see it coming, right?
Yeah.
Damage furion is one of my favorites. But you get something, a cute, clever name, and all of a sudden, like, you're like, oh, you didn't know?
Yeah.
Damage furion. You can, you feel more confident
pushing
back, right?
I love that.
Well,
try it, damage free.
I think that's what you just said is key, though, is being confident in what you're doing, because somebody will go in and just go, oh my gosh. Like, okay, so for example, I haven't played my mage in quite a while. I remember not particularly enjoying leveling it during Pandaria, and then when it came around to Warlords, I was like, you know what? This is one of my last ones. I'm going to use my boost on my mage. So boost my mage up. Go open to non, want to run up and see if I can get some loot off of Kazak and running around. Well, I need to get my talents sorted out, because after you boost your tune, everything's a mess. Nothing's there, no talents, no glyphs, no nothing. So I'm digging through it, and honestly, like, and I feel like you said, I've been playing this game a very long time. I can play pretty much any class, any spec, and figure it out. Like, all right, I'm sitting there looking at this thing going, holy crap, I don't even know. Some of these talents are just like, I have no idea what's going on. So I'm sitting here digging through them, and I'm like, I don't have the confidence level with this character to say like, hey, I know that you think X is bad, but I like X and I'm going to use X and I will do good with it. So you can go make me a sandwich, you know? So like, there's that confidence level that I think people are lacking. And I think the talent system, even as simplified as it is now, is still kind of daunting for a lot.
I agree. Right. Or you just don't want to make the wrong choice. And so if guides present more choices, or I think it's, Sunny or Brew has a really cool way to do it where she tries to give like the super succinct, like, you know, picture, like here's the picture of the talent tree that's, you know, most recommended. And then she's very, very, very careful to choose the right word and make it super short. So she'll be like, oh, you know, the first set of talents, here's the three of them. And she'll have a heading like easiest to use, you know, theoretically the most damage is the next one. And the last one might say just like rarely useful. And then under that, she'll give more information if needed. So she's not filling it up with words to just fill it up, right? She'll say something like, you know, this is easiest to use, but don't forget to use it on yourself first for maximum output. And then she just has one word that says macros and it's a hyperlink. And then the next one just won't say anything because there is no explanation or whatever. And so it's nice because then, you know, people aren't, because a lot of guide writers are like, well, if I explain all of these things, there's going to be a wall of text and that's going to scare people away. And I'm like, well, yeah, but if you're a little creative about it, like Sunnier Brew, I feel like her guides are incredible. Like, they hit all targets while being succinct. And then, like you say, like maybe you like this talent and you're looking at a guide and you can see this and you're like, oh, well, she says it's easiest to use. Here's a tip. And then that way somebody can be like, why are you using that talent? Be like, honestly, it's a little bit easier to use. I find the other one really hard. Oh, okay. Right?
Right.
Like, like you say, like you just need that confidence. And these theory crafters are doing all this work. You know, a lot of us, like I do general theory craft. I'm not an expert in all 33 or 34 specs or whatever there are. So even I, like working for Mr. Robot and doing all of these stat weights and all this research, I'm not confident to be like, oh, I'm smarter than this theory crafter. So how is an average person going to be like, oh, well, a theory crafter says it's X. Well, I'm going to say this is the way I want to play or this is better. Like, you're just like, no one's going to believe me, right? Or you don't end up believe yourself. And so if those theory crafters who are doing all of that work kind of give you that information as well, you can, like you say, you can have that confidence to be like, well, this is better in AoE. This is better in single target. The single target one wins out overall if you don't want to be talent switching. So that's why I went with this. So yeah, I agree. You know, actually on that topic, the other problem we run into. So in that survey, I had said, you know, the simulations show, you know, this talent is 0.5% better, 0.5% worse, depending on, you know, your crit rate or the fight or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And there was maybe 8 to 10% of the respondents who insisted the simulations were wrong. Like, they knew nothing about it, but they're like, well, this can't be because this other talent is so much better. You must be wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, well, I,
yeah.
I know what I'm doing. And, well, you know, but then you get, think of if you're just a regular person and you even do a simulation of your character to back up your choice, you're going to be met with the same resistance, right? I mean, from a certain group of people, like in your guild. Well, you're not going to be, but a certain group, or if you're on the forums, well, you're wrong. Why?
Right.
Why do you assume that? Why isn't the other guy wrong? But the person who comes out with it first is the one that sticks, and everyone else has to do all the work to disprove that, right?
Well, it, at that point, you're arguing with a stranger on the internet.
Yeah, you know, yes, where that's or in a pug.
Yeah. So,
although it sucks because if you are applying to a guild, sometimes those arguments really matter, right?
Well, in that case, if you're applying to a guild and you should be pretty prepared. You should know why you're taking which talents. You know, if you're playing with that level of seriousness and mm-hmm. you know, here's my goals laid out, here's what I want to do, then, you know, if it's a mythic guild, then yeah, absolutely, you should know why you're taking your stuff. And there's tons of guides out there from people who explain the math down to the decimal of why you need to take which. Then cool, right on, there's plenty of resources for you. But if you're the average player, then I don't know, like, it's just not worth it, like.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if someone's griefing you in Heroes about why you take that talent, then there's a super neat little mute button over there.
I know, I love that button.
I don't know, the casual player, I feel like we had this talk with Ferdy a couple of weeks ago when we did the Warlock episode, where he talked about some trap talents.
Mm-hmm.
And that kind of, like, I was like, oh crap, you know, I guess that's what I'm doing sometimes when I'm taking these passive talents. It's a trap, and you don't even know it. And you're looking at it, and you're like, well, I can use this talent twice in 30 seconds. Well, but you don't see that it doubles the cooldown. So actually, you're losing out, or, you know, whatever it is.
Right. And yeah.
I don't know. Like, how do we blame Blizzard for those kinds of talents then? That's obvious. Obviously a bad choice or a bad glyph. I mean, some of these are clearly set up to be like
a trap talent.
That's terrible. Like, so how do we address that kind of stuff?
Right. Yeah, and you know, that's part of it lays on Blizzard. Of course, you know, I don't want to put all the blame on Blizzard because they've done great jobs balancing some things, and the community still does crazy things. There was one author, I need to figure out who that is so I can give him credit. So I'll think about that and then we'll say it. But anyway, he's a really big fan of like game design and how game design influences behavior. And he gave this really cool example of pre Wrath of the Lich King. I don't know how you guys did it, but, you know, we would pug everybody, right? We had a small guild, so we'd have to pug people. And I had a spreadsheet of everybody we'd pugged and if they were good or not, or we liked them, or, you know, they were annoying or whatever. And then I would just whisper. I'd get on, you know, an hour before the raid, and I'd whisper all these people. Be like, are you ready? You know, do you want to raid with us? Are you cool? You know, and then you get them in your group. Like, do you remember these days?
Putting
a group
together
took so much time. Then, but you know, your reputation kind of mattered, right? Like, only the good players would get whispered and invited back. But then once Wrath of the Lich King came out and like looking for Group Finder, whenever all of that stuff happened, it became a completely different dynamic. Like, your reputation didn't matter. These were throwaway groups, right?
Mm-hmm.
You just join it. You could eat a snack while raiding. And not even DPS and get dragged through because it didn't matter. You don't have to worry about getting invited back because tomorrow you can push the same button and you're going to get in another group, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah.
And so that little game design thing, while it was part of it was a quality of life improvement, the other part kind of degraded the raiding community. You didn't have to be on your best behavior anymore. And so that was a really interesting point that he made. And he said, so, you know, for anything from, you know, raiding to talents, you know, game design can really influence it. And, you know, like Blizzard's been changing this because they've said several times they want people to have a choice. And so I feel like they went from this complicated tree design to the more simple design to go in that direction. But you know, when something's a trap talent, I do feel like they should change it. I don't know why they don't change it, right? Like, I don't know if, like, it's just there, so it's too hard to change it. They don't want to dramatically, you know, like, say you completely revamp a Warlock tier. Are the other classes going to complain? Like, what's the fallout going to be that nobody else got that, right? And there's, I'm sure there's a whole slew of reasons. But I think that's why it's important to have, you know, really engaged people involved in the alpha, because Blizzard really does listen, and they change a lot based on feedback. So, yeah, I feel like these trapped talents... should go. Oops, because I fall for them. I'm like,
yeah,
oh,
absolutely.
I feel like I'm a smart person, but oops.
Well, you know, I know.
Go ahead.
Oh, even I had a couple of the ones he mentioned. You know, like, oh, I'm like, really? Oh man.
So, we have these folks on the show that started going. They started going through the talents and the glyphs, and we're looking at everything, and I'm like. You know, I'm looking at mine going, all right, yeah, I got this nailed. And they're like, okay, this. And I'm like, and they'll say either, oh, well, don't use this. It's terrible. And that's the one that I picked. And I'm like, okay, can you tell me why that's terrible? You know, not that I would take that, but, you know, for the
of
people who
not.
Don't know.
But,
you know.
Well, and some really are terrible, right? And mm-hmm. I feel like the ones that are very close that get labeled as terrible is just muddying the waters.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and so it would be nice to show people like, oh no, really, this one is 50% worse. Oh, okay. That's a whole lot different than 1%. Mm-hmm. I do feel like an idiot for taking that. My bad. You know. Talarian is the person who was talking about the how Blizzard influences game design. You know, and our own developer you know, responded because, you know, one of the Blizzard people, Celestalon, asked, like, how can we, Blizzard, help, whether it's from a game design or community aspect? And so our Mr. Robot developer, who deals with, you know, all of the data, was like, well, the spell tooltips aren't usually that helpful. So if you take a look at Diablo, right, Diablo is like, a spell will be like 400% weapon damage, and another one will say 600% weapon damage, and you're like, okay! That's meaningful to me. I can make a choice.
That's math. I can.
Yeah. Right. Whereas, like in Warcraft, like it's so convoluted. The right number isn't always there. There's hidden multipliers. There's even a multiplier for, I think, like warriors that even SimC hasn't figured out. They've come close, but you know it's close enough that it doesn't matter. But it's like,
well,
okay,
and different. You know, you take a talent that's a passive talent. You don't realize it can. Completely affects this other skill over here that in turn generates, you know, am I going to get more rage? Am I going to do, you know, so there are so many variables that sometimes you don't realize just clicking through the talents that you have completely changed by taking one or two different things. You have completely changed even the rotation of it, you know. You know, one of our warriors is he knows his stuff. He reads up. He's very, I wouldn't say he's a theory crafter, but he totally knows his stuff. He is like, oh, well, I got this trinket now, so my rotation changed completely. I'm like, what? Really? Well, yeah. I mean, now I have to use haste, and I have to, you know, I'm like, oh, my God. Well, okay. Then have fun figuring that out.
Yeah, that's pretty crazy. Right. Just a trinket.
People like that are super helpful, right? Like, if they post these kinds of things, like in guides or on forums, then people, like, you know, you and me can stumble upon them and be like, oh, cool. Oh, that's really good insight, right?
Yeah.
And those things are super, super helpful. And I want to make sure, you know, people know, because I know sometimes, you know, in writing versus speaking, things come across differently. Like, you know, it's not that guides are bad. It's what happens with whether it's, you know, absolutist verbiage or just the community, like, taking these things and not having the context, and like we said, making something sound terrible that's not terrible because they don't know any differently. Mm-hmm. But then, like, when you get somebody that comes along, like, has these creative ideas, or is like, oh, you know, you can actually improve your DPS a lot if you get this trinket and change your entire rotation. You're like, good to know. Or maybe that makes me think, I know that this trinket's best, but I really don't want to do that rotation. So you know what? I'm actually going to go for this other trinket over here, right? So I feel like having all the information in that context is what will really, really start helping players.
I have a question for you.
Mm-hmm.
So I was talking with my buddy the other day, and he was like talking about different trinkets, and I noticed in my bag that I had this one trinket, and I was like, oh my gosh, I forgot. I have had this in my bag for, you know, 3 or 4 weeks. And of course I, he's like, well, it's supposed to be pretty good, right? So I pop over to AMR and I'm like, let's see what AMR has to say. You know, looking at the best in bags feature. If you guys don't have that, it is absolutely well worth it anyways to throw that support at
I can't live without it, but I'm biased.
I use it every time.
Yes.
So I'm looking at this, and I fire it up, and it says, yes, use this trinket, right? So I go, and I'm running some Mythic Dungeons. I'm like, all right, cool. If that's the trinket I need to use, then I'm going to throw some Valor on it, get that puppy upgraded.
Mm-hmm.
And then I got a couple more pieces of gear from a run, and then I went back to the robot and said, hey, will you look at my best in bags? And I hadn't changed any gear out. I didn't change anything at all. But now it's telling me that the other trinket that I was using originally is not the right trinket anymore.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know. I wasn't sure if I had done something wrong. Or
So trinkets are a very good question. A little backstory on our trinkets. So we try to be super smart about it. We actually have like our own little simulator that interfaces with SimC to try to figure out these answers. And so what we'll do is, like, say a trinket, it'll proc, you know, it'll make your fireball do twice as much damage on every third fireball. Let's just pretend everyone's gonna be like, I want that trinket. It doesn't exist, people. I just made that up. and so, in order to tie that to stat weight so that it scales, we would take that and say, okay, how much damage does it result in, and say it results in 10,000 damage over the course of a fight, or 10,000 DPS. Then we'll say, well, how much, you know, intellect or strength or whatever you need to get that, you know, to get 10,000 DPS, how much, you know, so would you need? So we'd be like, oh, you need 180 strength in order to get 10,000 DPS. And we're like, great, or attack power, or whatever the most relevant stat is. So then we assign it that value. So then as you're playing with stat weights, the trinket's value will go up or down, or as your, you know, everything scales if you have caps or things like that. So we try to be super smart about it. However, it's far from perfect. And the reason for that is, like, some trinket might be really good for AoE, another might be good for single target. Well, we don't know what people are using it on. So what we try to do is, like, look at the best overall, and recommend, you know, try to figure those things out based on all of the stat weights. But, you know, some things like play it differently, like maybe one of them boosts your strength a lot. Well, if you get different gear, you know, say it increases your strength by 10%. If all of a sudden you have a whole lot of gear that doesn't have strength on it, the 10% that it gives you is a lot less, right? And so then maybe another trinket ends up being better that gives you pure damage. So we really try to be super flexible and super smart about it. However, we were talking about Legion earlier and that we were going to wait to announce a whole bunch of our things for Legion. We're actually trying to once and for all solve the trinket question with Legion. And so I mentioned that we have that like little simulator tool we work on the background. We're going to try to like use that, maybe expose that little itty bitty part of the tool we have to the public, and then try to figure everything out on like a per boss basis instead of this global scale. And maybe we don't know quite yet, but maybe you could say when you're looking at your best in bags, it could be like, well, what boss are you really worried about the most? Because it really doesn't matter if the boss is on farm, right? But everyone has that progression boss. And so we're like, well, maybe you should gear for that progression boss. And so then you could be like, okay, well, my progression boss is Archimonde. And we still can't kill him. We'll be like, oh, actually, this is the best trinket for Archimonde. So, and then we can switch your gear for that. So we're trying, because that's like one of the last big problems we have to solve as far as the gear thing.
The problem is going to be is if they continue to do like what they did with the class trinkets off of Archimonde that are just so wacky. Like,
yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Like the monk tank one is like, well, you get more stacks of this, and if you have enough stacks, then it does this and this, and you're just like, I don't even know if that's good or not. I get it. Yes. It sounds okay. I don't know. Like, it
sounds maybe cool. I just want
some bonus armor. So yeah, if they continue to follow that pattern with, I don't know if that was like, that was the big, like, oh my gosh, I want this from the final boss, the final raid of the final tier, you know? But that could make the trinket game like kind of a pain in the butt all over again.
Yeah, well, and it's already a pain in the butt, you know, like sometimes like Rune of Reorigination, we called the Mr. Robot Breaker.
Oh yeah. Right.
We had to write so much code to get that trinket to play nice. So we've been working on like all these different things, right? Like every time they do this, we're like, okay, we've got every case set, and then they come out with the class trinkets. We're like, really?
Yeah.
You had to do it again, didn't you? I know you're doing this just to screw with me. I know it. So that's why we're thinking, like, if we make this tool a little more robust and then also do it on a per boss basis, that like that could finally solve the problem. Because we'll get a lot of like arguing, and it's good arguing, but people will be like, well, you know, so and so says this is the best trinket. Why are you recommending this one? And we're like, well, okay, here's the deal. They say it's best because they're looking solely at, you know, a patchwork style fight. We're trying to look at a real set of fights. Mm-hmm. And they're very close, but this one works on both is very strong for both single target and AoE, whereas the one they're recommending is brilliant for just AoE. Mm-hmm. And so we're trying to do the recommend, you know, the well-rounded.
Yeah.
You know, and so we get into a lot of our arguments like that, and that's why we're like, you know, what's the right thing for us to recommend? And so we figure this will also be one of the solutions to that. And a lot of players don't know that either, right? They're like, oh, this is the best one, but they don't have the context, right? Again, it comes down to you post in the forums, you ask for advice, and like, this is the best one. Well, why? If you don't give me context, I don't know how to use it, right?
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, so we're working on that. Go Legion.
Sounds awesome. I can't get here soon enough, man. I'm so ready for Legion.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm pretty excited. I want more of the to be able to do more in the alpha so far. I haven't done a whole lot yet.
Still waiting for Destruction Warlocks to show up.
Mm-hmm.
That'll be exciting.
Right?
I know.
I was waiting for the Healing Druid.
I didn't.
But I'm assuming they're waiting for healing and tanking until later because that's a lot harder to...
I did not enjoy Balanced Druid, the artifact quest for that at all.
Yeah, I started it but didn't get to finish it.
Delete Druids forever.
You know, and one other thing we're trying to do, like, speaking of, like, you know, I'm not trying to, like, blame theory crafters and guide writers. I mean, you know, we do it too. For example, we recommend, we have a whole bunch of stat weight options, right? So you come to our site, maybe you're a warlock, and we have three different sets of stat weights for you. And we thought, oh, we're doing really good by offering you three sets of stat weights. Look at us. Yay, we're offering you options. But we offer one as the default, right? And it says default right on it.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that by itself is leading people to think that's the best one, right? And so with Legion, we're going to try to change that too and give them all names, not give one a default. And we haven't decided yet, but maybe somebody comes to the website for the first time. And instead of having one selected, we just throw a pop-up that says, hey, here's three choices.
Mm-hmm.
And each one has a little description.
Well, yeah, like
AoE kind of master, single target.
You were saying how Sonya had done her talent thing, you know, kind of trying to be less biased and more...
Right. And we didn't mean to mislead people, but
no, but people are gonna. I mean, you could hand somebody a $5 bill and they'll complain, like, "Why? What the heck? There's a wrinkle in this." What, you know?
But a lot of people think like this whole problem can't be fixed, like, you know, people being mean to each other and forcing people into talents. And a lot of the responses are like, "Well, there's always going to be a best. Like, we mathematically figure it out. Of course, there's a best. I'm like, well, best for what? Right? Like."
Mm-hmm.
Like, if I'm not good at the rotation, it is absolutely not best for me to go for the talent that does theoretically 1% more, but requires this really difficult rotation that I'm just not good at, right?
Yeah, right.
So you have to define best. And I think that's just, like, a not creative way to think about the problem. You know, like I said, like, the way Sunny Ru does her guides, or, you know, the fact that we offer a default stat weight, we're part of the problem. And so if you really sit back and look at it, you know, we can all do little things to just try and fix this. You know, when we offer a default and we say haste is the best stat, everyone's like, oh my God, Mr. Robot says haste is the best stat, therefore it must be. But if you look at the other option, haste is not the best stat, because it's just a different style of play. And I think we can all kind of work together to start changing just the rhetoric of these like absolute, you know, absolute verbiage to...
Yeah.
You have options, you know?
Well, there's a problem. There's all sorts of caveats to this. You can't assume that everyone's being an idiot. You can't assume that people are just, you know, like, no, I'm taking this because I just don't care, you know?
Right.
But you
can't. That's rarely the case, right?
Well, yeah. Have you been in LFR lately?
Yeah, well, except for
but you
or,
also
or do they just not care, or is it that they just don't know?
But you also can't assume that everybody knows better either. Mm-hmm. You know, people are genuinely trying their best, air quotes. But you can't assume that just because someone's trying their best doesn't mean that they don't know that in 6.2 that talent went out the window and now this one's the new hotness, you know, and I don't know how to get that. How do you spread the word to people that, like, okay, somebody's been playing a Death Knight since Wrath, right? And they know their Death Knights in and out, and but they took a 6-month break because of real life, and now they're back, and now they're casually raiding, and how, you know, what am I going to do here? And they kind of, you know, how do you get the word out to everybody that, like, here's these options, and, you know, I mean, I guess it falls in the hands of the players to try to be current, I guess, I don't know.
Yeah, but I mean, even if you try to be current, sometimes guides are out of date, or, you know, one of the things I like when guides do it is they'll have something that they said, and then if it changes, they put a strike through, and then put the update, because then you're like, oh, I'm not crazy.
Yeah,
right,
yeah.
They're like, I'm not crazy, that used to be better, or it's clear and it's obvious what's changed. You know, if you don't follow news like that week, a lot of times what people are saying and talking about, like you say, you miss it.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like that's something where sites like Ask Mr. Robot or, you know, other big sites, even guide sites can come and play. Like somebody visits our site and, you know, if we can track how long it's been since their character's been loaded or something, we can like pop something up that says, you know, here's the top three things you need to know that changed, and link them to maybe some more information somewhere. You know, we're not a content site. It doesn't really, quote, matter for us, but it's a nice service we can do knowing that we have a huge player base. And we like playing, you know, nice and collaborating with all the content sites. So something like that is fun for us because we could pop something up like that.
Mm-hmm.
And then it links to some really cool blog posts that has more information.
So I was going to say, do you partner with any particular guide or
it's more along the lines of like if some I try to get people to send me things because I can't keep up with all 30 you know four specs or whatever but a lot of it's just when I happen across something that's really good or I know something major is changing I'll just Google it and try to find like one of the blog posts or articles or podcasts that I think covered it well and link to that but anybody out there who has something good you know when Legion comes out and stuff that you really want to get it across, send it to us. Like, we do it. There's no cost. There's no catches. We just, you know, the more valuable we make our site to people, the better.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah.
And by us being able to tell people these things, like, how cool is it that you go to Mr. Robot to optimize your character, and it's like, oh, by the way, these things change. You're like, hey, gee, thanks, Mr. Robot. Thank you. That's really nice of you. He's just a friendly little robot. but so I think like a lot of people who are like, oh, these things can't be fixed, need to think a little more creatively. And I'm really going to be trying to like spearhead this and push it with all the Legion stuff that comes out because I think it's an important topic, right? Like nobody wants this toxic environment that happens. And nobody tries to play Warcraft and being like, I'm going to try to not be good. Right? You want to be good. It's just hard to find the information, sifting through forums. Is this guide updated? I don't know. Like, but if there's a one-stop shop that makes it easy, you know, like Icy Veins is nice because, like, you know all the guides are there. And if their writers don't want to go into more detail, they could always link to somebody who does go into more detail. So I think we can all, you know, if we all take this seriously, we can do a lot with it.
So it's going to be a community and a word of mouth and just, you know, rather than griefing somebody saying, hey, I don't believe honestly that LFR or Group Finders is the place for that.
Right.
Correct me if I'm wrong, but I mean,
probably not.
Unless you're kind of building some sort of rapport with somebody or you're having a friendly conversation, like when you're whispering somebody and going, hey, dude, you're taking the wrong talent is going to get you nowhere. And I think that's what causes,
I always tried to, when I, you know, used to work at a big company, now we're at a 3-person company, I always work at a big company. I never assumed somebody on my team was wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Like I would never say, why, you know, like I would never say, I can't believe you did this this is the wrong way to do it. I would ask, like, hey, why'd you do it this way? Mm-hmm. Out of a curiosity manner, right?
Right, okay.
And 9 times out of 10, they had a very good reason. And if they came to me instead beforehand and said, hey, I want to do it this way and here's why, I would have said yes, right?
Mm-hmm.
They're smart people. They're like, well, I did it this way because of X, Y, and Z. But if I go in and I'm like accusatory from the beginning, of course they're going to get defensive, right? And then yeah. I look like an ass because when they actually explain themselves, I'm like, oh, you're right. But no, I'm not going to admit you're right. I'm going to get defensive and be like, well, you should have done it my way because I'm right, right? And then you get this like butting of heads.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
But instead, if you're just like, hey, I see you took that talent. That's curious. I always play with this one. Why did you choose that? And you know what? The answer might just be like, I don't know. It seemed fun. Be like, oh, well, what I've found, and then you can tell them a little bit about why you chose the talent you did, and they're gonna be like, oh cool, maybe I'll try that out
because it's passive.
Right, exactly. It's like it's, you don't get this like, you know, aggressive butting of heads and defensiveness.
Mm-hmm. Well, you just said the one three-letter word that you kind of wrap things up with, and that's fun. And that's a big
fun.
Thing
oh
too
my God.
Fun. Like what's fun to play, because this is a game, right? It's a game.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And you play games because they're fun. So,
mm-hmm.
like you mentioned this in your article as well, the second one, and a lot of people mentioned that too. Like, I'm playing it this way because it's fun for me. Whereas, you know, something mm-hmm. that's overly complicated, it's not fun if you can't figure that out, but you can still do mostly as well with something else, and it's a lot more fun. You know, even not just talents, but spec-wise, my wife has been playing Arcane Mage for quite a while now. And actually just switched to Frost this weekend. And after playing it for like an hour, she's like, this is way more fun than Arcane. And she's staying nice. Frost because it's more fun. Mm-hmm. You know, that's right. a big
and
thing as well.
I'm not going to tell her she has to switch to anything else.
Exactly.
Right. Well, and if you look at, you know, just like everyone focuses on what's easy, right? Like you can switch this talent. When there's other things that are really the problem, like skill or... Mm-hmm. dying in a fire. And unless you're in these, like, you know, world first mythic guilds, you're just, you know, the rest of us are quite casual compared to them. You know what? You're not failing on the boss because of somebody's talent or spec choice. You're failing because of poor execution, right? Mm-hmm. Like,
yeah.
Oh, I spent too much time running around because I don't anticipate it enough, so I screw up my rotation. Well, okay, I just need more practice.
Or sounds like me.
One person, yeah, right? That's me all the time. And I'm a resto druid. It's like I can cast all the time, and I'm still like, oh my God, I'm running and I'm focusing, and oh no, it's really hard. anyway, you know, or if one person, if you're on a team with 20 people and one person dies early and, you know, you can't res them anymore, that's a 5% DPS, actually more than 5% DPS loss because a good portion of your team are tanks.
And healers, yeah.
So it's probably like an 8% DPS loss. It's like, okay, come on now. Right? You're going to harass me for playing a Frost Mage when this person died and took away 8% damage? Like, that's not fair.
So, right? unless you're hitting like 1 and 2% wipes over and over and over and over and over.
And nobody's dying.
Right. Mm-hmm. And then those aren't, then what spec you're playing and what, and your talent trees aren't the things to pick on, I would
right.
say.
Or even if you're wiping on those small percentages, making sure it was everybody fully flasked, or mm-hmm. things like, you know, 1 or 2 pieces of new gear per person is probably all you need.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So instead right. of making somebody switch specs, you can be like, all right, one more week of farm, then we'll do it. Right.
Or even, or, you know, the Valor upgrades now, those are mm-hmm. pretty easy to come by. There's a lot of ways now here at the end of the expansion to kind of eke out another, you know, few percent or, you know, whatever.
Right, right. Whatever. And so I feel like, yeah, that's like forcing, like, yeah, if people want to look up cookie cutter builds and do a cookie cutter build, great. But when they're forced on you,
mm-hmm. yeah,
when there's so many other things you could change, whether it's helping somebody with a rotation, not dying, you know, all these other things. It's just a shame that people get like bullied into these changes or left off teams because they aren't doing what everybody else is doing. You know, that's just sad. We're here to have fun. Think a little harder about what's going wrong.
If you're not having fun, you're doing it wrong.
Yes.
Exactly.
I like that. In the,
there we go.
In the survey, it was awesome how some people are just like really focused on fun. And, you know, somebody was like, well, he's having fun, so of course he's doing it right. I'm like, yes. But then you have a very large group of people, like I said, like the 40% who said you had to switch for team purposes that were pretty toxic. Mm-hmm. A good number of them were saying things like, you know, having fun is, you know, rude to the rest of the team because you're ruining everybody else's time. Oh. Just like, that's a little,
when,
that's a little
when
harsh.
When I show up, my role is pretty important. Like, you know, being a tank, you kind of have to be on point.
Yeah.
Every single time, you know.
Yeah.
If I screw up, we know it. Yeah, we know it. If I mess up, if I miss time, mm-hmm. if something happens, I have personally wiped Manoroth for our team several times just because, you know. and I know it, and I'll say it, you know.
Right.
My desire to have fun usually lines up with what I'm doing. And I feel like, okay, well, this talent's passive, but I know this talent's better. I'm not going to have less fun if I take this talent. A team isn't forcing me into taking this talent, you know, but I know that it's the right thing to do. And I want to do right by my team because killing bosses is fun. It's a lot more fun than taking a passive talent. So like the argument about like people being forced into things and people not wanting to do things for their team and not being a team player, I think that's kind of silly. Like if you're logging into an organized raid, mm-hmm. if you're not getting into LFR, if you're actually getting into an organized raid, then you probably have the intention on killing bosses. And if you're mm-hmm. showing up and if you're there, then I don't understand why you wouldn't want to do everything that you could do to be your best. Now mm-hmm. that I'm not saying you have to take the most popular talent, you have to eke out everything, but like do your personal best, you know, when you show up, like, okay, I know the basics of my rotation, but I also know that I can tighten things up. So I've been like, all right, let me tighten things up. Let me swap
out every time
this
you
talent,
try to improve a little bit. Right. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I know our other tank has really been working its butt off with taking a couple of talents that were definitely the harder to use talents. And now, over the past few weeks, months, you can see a huge difference, man. He's like on fire when he's doing it. And he's like, you know, doing this, the Breath of Syndragosa talent. And he's like,
oh, nice.
Tearing it up. And I'm like, man, I have tried and I cannot do that. Good on you, man. And he's in there and you can tell there's like a sense of accomplishment. Like mm-hmm. I did it. And
I mastered this.
Yeah. And uh-huh. I did a good job at it, you know,
and so, I think a lot of it too can be, you know, thwarted with communication, you know, like you were saying earlier in the show, you know, experimenting, right? Or mm-hmm. this person's like, hey, I want to try this. He might be really bad for a couple of fights or a couple of raids, right? Like while you try to get used to that new rotation, like mm-hmm. we've all done it, right? Every time I try to play with all the resto druid things, you get a set bonus. You're like, oh, okay, a set bonus. Now I'm going to use a lot of rejuves. Let me see how that feels. It takes quite a while to, mm-hmm. for me, at least, to get used to it. Mm-hmm. And so just like letting your raid team know, be like, hey, healers, you might need to be a little more on point because I'm trying something new. And eventually I might get, like you say, like I might be really bad for a little bit, but then I might just be killing it once I master it. Mm-hmm. Or maybe I just don't get the hang of it. And after a while, we're like, all right, you know what? I tried it.
Yep.
Back to what worked. And then, you know, I feel like as long as you have that kind of communication, the team knows you're trying. And I think the intentions, you know, matter a lot, at least with the team that you're building rapport with, right? Not just like a pug.
Mm-hmm.
You know, whereas, you know, you don't want to just flat out refuse something and never try it, right? I mean, and that's not a fair thing to do for your team either if your team's trying to help you. Like, well, no, I don't want to use that talent. Okay, well, why don't you want to do this? I don't like it. Okay, but have you tried it?
Mm-hmm. Right.
Or just agreeing, you know, like once one person who responded actually had a really interesting way to go about it. And he said, look, I'd ask the person, hey, can you just try it for one raid? We know your damage might not be good. Give it your best shot. We're not going to harass you for having bad damage, but just give it a shot. After that raid, if you don't like it or the performance doesn't go up, that's fine. But we know that you tried. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, well, that's actually a really adult way to handle that.
Right?
Right? Good for you. Way better than I could think of. So I think things like that are actually like a nice way to go about it. And I feel like if you're on a team for a while, most people are nice, but you know, you get that one or two players who are underperforming all the time. And then that's when like everyone kind of starts to get angry
mm-hmm.
and judgmental and be like, well, you're using the wrong talent, right? They start to get that short fuse and get kind of turned into jerks towards that person. And that's what I'd kind of like to figure out a way to stop it. Like, does that person just not have a good place to do research? Are they not doing any research? Like, what's going on with that person? Is that something where Blizzard needs to do in-game tutorials? I don't know.
Well, there's the scenario of somebody who only shows up to raid. They don't show up to do anything else. All they do is show up to raid, and they're you can tell they're a little rusty, they're a little off, you know.
They haven't played for a whole week.
Yeah. So, I mean, there's a lot of, I don't know, especially in a casual raiding environment, there's a lot of variables. So I don't know sometimes how you address these things. Like, sometimes I would tell somebody, look, man, before we raid, you just need to go run a five-man real quick to at least, you know, get yourself loosened up a little bit and maybe get, you know, trigger that muscle memory or
remember
something.
Remember your hotkeys?
Yeah. Totally.
Yeah, there definitely is a rust factor that is there if you don't play all the time or just log in, you know, once a week or once every couple weeks.
Or if you're, like, playing alts and stuff, like, you know, then you jump back around your main and you're like, oh, crap, hold on, you know, like, so there's a familiarity that happens too. I don't know.
No, I agree. Like, after the holidays, you know, sometimes we take longer breaks and then you come back and you're like, oh, what do my keys do?
Yeah.
And what was my rotation supposed to be? Shoot.
Yeah. I know. It's no matter how many alts I play, no matter what I do, I feel like I have to be on point with my main because that's kind of the one that everyone's counting on. So.
Yeah, and tanks. That's a tough job.
It is, and it's taken me a while to get to the point where I feel like, I guess each expansion starts over and you feel like, ah, crap, here we go again, you know, and, you know, the re-gearing and you know, getting through everything and walking into raids with a couple of blues and some greens on, and, you know, there's that, like, that, all right, I wonder how this is going to go, you know, and then by the end of the expansion, you're like, soloing dungeons and, you know, like.
Right. Which is kind of fun. That sense of accomplishment.
It's good stuff. So you have broken your article up into a couple of different pieces. What else do we have to expect from, you said you have more?
Yeah, so I've got a third one that I'll be working on soon that kind of looks at all of the other people's responses. So a lot of people took this topic and then wrote, you know, responses, or they had insight of, like, you know, some little thing that I mentioned, and then they, you know, expanded on that. And a lot of people had really interesting things to say. You know, a lot of people argued interesting cases for the reason for keeping, you know, like, cookie cutter builds. And like I said, I know that there's always going to be, like, you know, things people suggest, and that's good, right? We all want guides. But somebody actually was like, well, you know, for uploading or when you're applying to a guild, if you have the quote right build, we can assume that you've done your research and you're a certain type of player. If you have, you know, a mess of talents, we're going to assume you have no idea what you're doing. And he's like, you know, am I getting it wrong sometimes? Like, sometimes is that, you know, person whose talents are a mess actually, you know, a forward thinker? Yeah, probably. He's like, but 99% of the time, they're not. And he's like, so yeah, we lose some people because of that, but it's an easy way for us as, you know, guild masters to, you know, weed through people. And I get it, but at the same time, like, you know, logs or asking, I'm a fan of asking questions, like a interesting question, like, why would you choose talent A versus talent B? And just seeing if they can respond with an intelligent answer. I mean, I guess you can always Google it, but it's nice to just kind of, like, that's how I would, you know, kind of judge people more than just, do you have the right talent? But, you know, some people had some interesting thoughts, right? And that's the issue, right? How do you get people to apply for guilds and understand everything? And so some other people had, you know, interesting ideas on how Blizzard could help. Or are there things, like I said, Sunny Brew, the reason I was starting to look at some of her guides is that she wrote this post and said, here are the problems, right? So a lot of people are outlining their own problems, especially the guide writers. And we as a community, you know, expect these guide writers to not only be really good at theory crafting, using all the tools, great at math, and good at telling us about it. That's a lot of expectations. I mean, how many people do you know that are really technical people but suck at explaining an idea to you?
Right?
Yeah. And then you get that person who's actually really, really, really genius at it and always comes up with, like, the perfect analogy to let you, like, wrap your head around it. And you're like, oh, that was easy. Of course I get it now, right?
Yeah. But they don't know how to do the math.
Right, right. Or even if they do, like, they know how to, like, interpret the math maybe, right? Or get you there.
Yeah.
And so we're expecting these guide writers to kind of be everything, Mm-hmm. And that's a lot of expectation.
Right.
And so a lot of these guide writers are kind of coming at it from their point of views and their problems of being a guide writer, you know, the pressure that they're given to, you know, fall into the norm. And we get that too, right? I mean, if we have stat weights that don't conform to the norm, who do we hear about it? No matter, you know, we go blue in the face explaining why we think this is a great way to play.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't matter. Mr. Robot's wrong. All over the internet, Mr. Robot's wrong. I'm like, ugh. How do you combat that? And so sometimes you just give in, right? And so the third part of this article is going to look at all of those people's different insights and opinions and kind of bring them all in one place and, you know, link to everyone to like the full articles, but kind of look at what I found interesting from all of their posts. I hope to also kind of put in there like how can we as a community go about fixing this?
Mm-hmm.
But depending on, you know, how long I go rambling, it could end up being a fourth part of the article. And then I want to keep this running kind of as Legion comes in and see if I can like really inspire some of these guide writers to do different things or people. And the guide writers start everything out nice. And then it's really the forum, like people that are really active on the forums that are perpetuating the truths, right? Those people also need to be aware of what's happening because they might be spreading this more so than the guide writers, right?
Right.
So try to get like really go after all these people to try and like really make a change, a meaningful change so that we can all have fun. Like that's my whole goal here is to like, don't make people feel stupid. You know, don't make like force people into arcane when they think Frost is fun.
Right.
Instead, give everyone the context of, you know, like if your wife knows that Frost will always do 50% less than arcane, she might be like, okay. I'll play arcane because I don't want to be that person.
Right.
But if Frost is only like 5% worse, she's probably going to be like, well, yeah, I want to play Frost.
Mm-hmm.
Please let me play Frost. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And so just better, kind of letting people like, have. Yeah. Yeah,
that 5% doesn't matter because I will make that up in my, you know, in the way that I'm able to play this. You know,
right. And one respondent, actually a lot of respondents said it like, you know, making sure every player on the team is having fun is worth it because they're more engaged.
Oh,
if
absolutely.
You're forcing them into things, they're going to be watching Netflix on their second monitor.
Yep.
Right. Mm-hmm. And so I really just want everyone to have fun. Like that's my goal is to make sure we keep the fun going in Warcraft and get rid of some of the toxicity that's shown up.
I think there's a lot of things to consider in, kind of like what you were saying when people are saying that, you know, AMR is wrong or, you have to consider, you know, especially for tanks and heals, that Mr. Robot, there's only so many metrics that you can come up with, you know,
right.
Then that a lot of healing is just personal preference. You know,
you know,
how much haste do you need? People used to, all the time, you know, when we were first, you know, covering a few of the class guides, and people would be like, well, okay, what's the stat priority? Well, you know, I can't tell you how much haste you need, honestly. And I'm sorry. Mm-hmm. And that's not a cop out. Like, I don't know. Like, are you a slow caster? Are you a real thoughtful healer that kind of like, I want to place this here?
Right. Are you a mana saver? Right. Yeah. Do you wait?
Or are you just like button mashing and blasting it out and you need all of the spirit you can get your hands on? You know, so it's like,
yeah, it's me.
You can't, no metric can tell you that, you know, that's
right.
You got to figure that out for yourself. You know, how am I with my mitigation? Am I, you know, monks and DKs are kind of known for having really strong self heals. And, you know, how am I? Do I manage that really good? You know, the heals per second is a good metric for that. But, you know, there's only so much that you can say. Well, AMR can tell you, you know, bonus armor or what, you know, mastery is your best stat. But what it doesn't know is that my healers are super, super good and that I don't need to worry about that as much. And I'm going to try and eke out another 5% damage,
right.
But I'm also going to be a little squishier as a tank. You know, there's just so many things to take into consideration.
Yeah. We actually usually have our tanks go super tanky at the start because the healer's gear is usually so far behind.
Mm-hmm.
But then right as the healers, you know, get good or better gear, then it's like, yeah, okay, go damage you. Well, we got your back, right? Mm-hmm. Like you say, there's all these things that work together. And it's actually quite interesting. In the healer community, there are some very strong opinions about one right way to play. You know, and we do a lot of theorycraft. And, you know, like I said, one of the problems is that we show you a default stat weight.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of saying, do you want bursty healing or do you want total healing per second? Like, what's your metric? Which is what we're going to try to do for Legion. So we're part of this problem, right? By saying we're suggesting overall, you know, or I think we ended up suggesting burstiness because we're like, look, when a tank's health drops, people just need to burst that up. Like, that's what they react to, right? Overall healing, you know, we're like, overall healing might not matter if your tank is dying. So we're going to try showing, you know, the different options, but because we didn't show it and we had one default, a lot of the healing community would be like, well, that's not wrong. It doesn't do more healing per second your way. I'm like, I know it doesn't do me healing per second, but I don't know if I care about healing per second, right?
Right, like, right.
You know, and I mean, they're all very smart people and they're not wrong either, right? Yeah, like they're theoretically correct, just like we're theoretically correct. And so I feel like a lot of these arguments and everyone hating on each other will go away if we're just like, oh, right, there's two ways to play. I'm a burst healer or I'm an overall healer. Like, you know, I have to come up with better names. My tank names are way better. I got to work on this.
I don't know. Burst healing.
Burst healing's good. But what's your other sustained healing? Yeah. I can heal you all day long.
Healing. Not on my watch.
Not on my watch. There you go. You know, so then, because then I feel like if you, like I said before, it's simple. You give it a name and then a healer can decide. Like, it's much easier for them. Like, when you say haste is your best stat, what is that really doing for me? I don't know. Right? Like, if you say this is your burst healing, you're like, oh yeah, I get it. I'm gonna heal. Like, and I think actually our haste was at the top because for burst healing, not only were we saying you had bigger heals, but we favored haste because we were like, you can react super fast. Mm-hmm. Right?
Yeah.
And that was one of our arguments is that like, well, if the health is down, this kind of play, you can react and get that health up real fast. And so letting people know those things instead of these like abstract things like haste versus mastery argument, the average player doesn't really know why one's better than the other in each situation. But if you're like, oh, yeah, haste helps you heal somebody right away when their health drops. Oh, good. That's me because our tank always gets hit for a giant amount because he's worried about his DPS. or you know what? My tank never dies. I'm just going to go for sustained healing and I'm going to AoE raid heal everybody, blow through my mana, and it's going to be great.
There's also the, people like to creep on armories and try to look at blogs and everything. And there's also a lot of things to consider there too. I'm trying to remember who it was. It was a guest we had on quite a while ago. It had to have been maybe Rignaros or Affinity or one of those guys, but they were saying that you can't just look at someone's armory and, one of these top end players and look at their armory and go, okay, that's it. That's what I got to do because you have no idea. You're saying that, well, on this fight, like, yes, I know that this is the quote unquote best talent to take, but I was trying something different because I knew that ads were going to come out. And I thought maybe if I kill these ads a little bit faster, we could skip this phase and we can do that, you know? So there's all these variables. Like, you don't know what they were trying on that pull. You don't know what was going on. You don't know other people on their team took different talents to compensate for those talents. And there's just way too many things.
Mm-hmm.
And for you to try and creep on somebody and figure out their, this mythic player took this, so that's what I should take too. Mm-hmm.
Right. Or like a specific role, like, you know what? We're going to let everyone else damage the boss, but I'm the only one handling ads because our team is really bad at switching to ads. So, you know what? I'm a really good player. I'm going to switch to ads, but that means I build different. Right. Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
And you shouldn't criticize me. You shouldn't creep on me and be like, you're doing it wrong. It's like, well, no, I was doing this to handle a hole in the team.
Right. Yeah. We were missing somebody that night who was a heavy AoE hitter and I had to compensate for that,
Right. Even though my AoE and this talent sucks, it at least was something.
Right. Yeah, totally. Like, yes, I know it's not the best talent, but
there's also, you also change talents between fights too, right?
Mm-hmm.
So maybe they logged out on an AoE fight versus a single target fight. And that's why they're in that particular talent at that time.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Side note on that, I feel like it's kind of an unknown fact. If you log with Mr. Robot's combat logs and have our add-on, we capture every piece of gear and every talent at the start of every pull. So if you're looking at somebody's logs, you can see exactly what they were using instead of like what the armory currently says.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I didn't know that, and I think that's awesome, but I know that a lot of people just, it's easiest to ping somebody in the armory, but
right.
So we had talked about how that even worked before in the past, and that and I won't really dig into that right now, but if you have questions about how to do that, the Mr. Robot or V, I'm sure can help you out. That is a huge, huge benefit. If you are genuinely wanting to know, you know, if you're willing to parse through and look at a few different logs, you could really get a good taste of what people are doing and when. You don't always have all the details, but, mm-hmm. you know, you can see the story a lot better when you see like all these talents changing between fights and whatnot. So
right, and one of the ways we try to help people improve, because you know we've worked on this problem for a while, right? We just want to help people improve in a non-toxic environment. Mm-hmm. And one of the ways is, you know, if you post in a forum and ask for help, it's a 50-50 chance if somebody's going to be helpful or somebody's going to come in and be annoying and a jerk. But if a robot helps you, well, he's always going to be nice. And so we actually built out the comparison feature. I don't know if you've used it for the logs. And so what it does is it takes you as a player, whoever you choose, it could be even a raid member that, you know, doesn't have time to do a whole lot of research. So you want to help them. And then you click the compare button and Mr. Robot finds like the top 10 most relevant players. And by relevant, we're looking at, item level. Are you using the same tier of trinkets mm-hmm. and the same number of set bonuses? And so if you only have one tier 16 trinket and you have a tier 15 trinket, we'll only compare you to somebody who also has one tier 16 and one tier 15. Because like you say, your play style changes, right? Sometimes mm-hmm. your rotation changes, your damage changes based on these things. And since we know all of this data on every single poll, we can find the correct log to compare you to. And then we show you like, you know, I improve on my own by doing this, right? It'll be, you know, you're using this much, doing this much damage on your top spell, and this guy's doing this much damage. And you can see like, oh, he's using, you know, Furious Strikes twice as much as me. Huh. Okay, maybe I'll try tweaking my rotation here a little bit. Mm-hmm. Or you can see, is this person favoring different stats? Or do they have a different trinket than me? Or different talents than me? And so it's kind of fun to be able to like mimic that person who is very, very similar to you on the same fight. With the same fight lengths, which means, you know, their team is probably equally geared, and then try it out in a raid and see how you do. And then you can take that same, your log again and compare it to that person again and see, oh, did I improve? Was I getting close? Mm-hmm. Yeah, so it's actually a fun way to try to work on improving. You know, because in the past, what did you do? You went to a log site and you'd look at the top ranked players and you'd be like, okay, I'm going to mimic them. Well, that's probably not the best thing to do. So we said, well, we'll compare you to somebody relevant. And you can pick any player, right? So you can still punch in an actual player and be like, well, I still want to compare to the mythic person. You can still do that. But we find it most helpful to compare to somebody who's just like you, but doing better.
I gotta try that. That so actually sounds really cool.
Fun. Yeah. Yeah. So it's on, when you're looking at logs, there's like a compare button somewhere in the menu.
it's gonna be awesome or you're gonna be really sad.
Right. Nice. But then it's nice because you're coming to conclusions yourself because a robot kind of helped you, right? It's not somebody like, you know, bombarding you with 20 different things you're doing wrong, which, you know, nobody really likes to hear.
Well, was there anything else from your first two articles that you wanted to
go over? I think we kind of covered it, you know, just that it's, I mean, we know that this exists, right? That there's some of this toxicity and people spreading truths that aren't exactly truths, mm-hmm. and how we can fix it. So if anyone has creative ideas, stop in by the articles or tweet at Ask Mr. Robot or at Celestalon from Blizzard and with your ideas on what the community can do to fix it. And then, you know what? When Legion comes out, put pressure on the community to do better. Right? If people are giving advice
in
forums and they're not giving context, don't just say like, I don't know how many times I see somebody post in the forums and they're like, you know, Mr. Robot says I should use trinket A. This guy says I should use trinket B. What one's best? And somebody will respond and be like, definitely trinket, you know, A. And the guy's like, thanks. Like, thanks for the help. I'm going to use that one now. Why is that guy right? He didn't give you any context.
Yeah.
Just because somebody told it to you rather than you're reading it doesn't mean it's better. So challenge these people. Be like, oh, cool. Why? Mm-hmm. Like if everyone would just start asking why, then people would have to start justifying things or do research. And if they do their own research, maybe they'd figure out, oh, maybe I'm not quite right. Or, yep, I'm right. And I'm right by 50%. Okay. All right. Fair enough. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, like put pressure on all these people. Like let the, you know, for the community to start justifying and giving context instead of these, I'm an authority, you know, and I'm not seeing like guide writers or anybody, just in general, you know, I'll do it too. I try to help somebody and I give them the quick and dirty instead of elaborating. But if we all took more time, I think it'd be better.
That makes sense. Also, awesome. Yeah, and your articles here, I'll make sure I put these links in the show notes too so that everyone cool. can go and have and read them because, yeah, I thought they were fantastic reads. I really do.
Thanks. Yeah, and leave comments even though, you know, these stories are a couple weeks or I think the second one is a couple weeks old now. Leave comments. I monitor them. I love reading all of them and I'm still working on article number three, so maybe your comment makes it in time three. Super exciting.
It is. Awesome. All right, if you have anything to add to this topic, as we said, you can post on there or have any questions about future topics, please feel free to send us an email at theshow@thetrainingdummies.com or you can leave us a voicemail, which no one ever does, at thetrainingdummies.com.
It seems fate has brought us together.
You have my gratitude.
We make a great team.
I'm sure glad you're around.
Well, if it ain't my favorite person.
You have your uses, don't you?
You have quite a talent there.
Together, our victory is assured.
Good enough.
All right, Hen Love this evening. As always, had one job on the Deathwing server, as well as our raid team, Team Crabdick, who is now... Oh, no, I guess we didn't progress at all last week, did we? We're still 11-13 heroic. So, and after this week, I'm hoping we'll be 12 of 13. And as well, I need to send some Hen Love to V for coming on the show tonight and having this great discussion. That was awesome.
Thank you. Can I like get excited about myself being on the show?
Yes,
absolutely. We were excited about it.
Rob, what do you got?
Definitely V for coming on tonight. I've been like super hyped for this episode. I keep popping into the show notes and I see V in there. I'm like, yes, hype, yes. So yeah, this is awesome. Justin, definitely gets a shout out for me tonight. He's my bud. He has helped me. He's kind of inspired me and helped me just through like a lot of what we've been talking about tonight, you know, what talents to pick and just kind of how to get the most out of your playtime and have the most fun. So, all the rest of our guildies and our raid team, I feel like we've been crushing it lately. And I don't know if that's because we have a couple of mythic raiders that have been tagging along, but.
I don't know, but it's been feeling good lately for sure.
I know, man. It's good, man. I'm getting that ring upgraded. Yeah, it's good. I think we'll get heroic buttoned up here before Legion rolls out. I think
definitely.
So, V, how about you?
Yeah. Well, thanks for asking me to be on the show. You know, normally I come on shows and talk about Mr. Robot stuff. So it was fun to be able to talk about, you know, this kind of a topic that I didn't expect and should have thought of and been like, hey, who wants to, you know, no. So I'm glad you guys thought of it instead of me.
Yeah.
Yay. Very excited. And then I would like to give a shout out to all of the people who wrote responses to the article. So I'm going to try to go through these and I'm ahead of time. I am known in my guild for horribly butchering people's names, even though I swear I was saying it right in the first place. So for anybody's name, they get wrong. It's not you, it's me.
It's like the George Costanza.
Right. Thugs made a really cool post on the battle.net forums. Sunnier's Art of Wars, we talked about her quite a bit because I love how she did her guides. Wrote a response. Finkenstein, one of our favorite theory crafters. The Mash Those Buttons podcast talked about it at the end of their show. Blessing of Kings did a post about it. Talarian is the one that I talked about who really likes the idea of game developers influencing behavior. Coffee Cakes and Crits, the blog. I actually just stumbled upon them and I don't know if it's a he or she, but I think it's a she because she's really funny.
I really like the name of that blog too.
Coffee Cakes and Crits. And I love style of writing. In fact, I want to read one of her quotes. She was saying that, you know, sometimes guides aren't updated. And she said, and I quote, "The only way to get more current information is to drudge through forums, blog comments of sections of websites, and dark hallways with envelopes full of cash." I like you. Thrill of the Hunt, you know, talked about you know, all of the different like talent setups and like how we did, right? Like something might be easier or harder. And so that's important. And then another new person I stumbled upon, Phil Morehouse, has a lovely English accent. And he did a video, a little 12-minute video talking about, you know, his response to this article as well. And so, and he really gets it. He understands like how all these things like work together. And then there were two guilds, believe it or not, that he came across, who talked about this in their guilds, the Weekend Warriors Guild and another good name, the Deadly Cupcakes Guild.
Yes.
Right. And then, also Lisanna on Twitter, we talked a lot with, and I know I'm going to get this one wrong. The Midwinter person I have written down here, Ryeth. I feel like that's right, right? Ryeth?
Sounds right. I think so.
For Midwinter?
Yeah, that sounds right.
R-Y-E-T-H-E. You can find him on Twitter. He actually had a lot of interesting things and talked about the history of how like the Leidestrøk's Banhammer might have contributed to a lot of this. You know, people have a hard time like speaking up counter arguments because the EJ Banhammer was so scary back in the day.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, that was really good insight.
You could put your opinion in the trash hammer.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And Celestalon for making this, you know, let's be honest, a lot of the reason these people probably responded to the article is because, you know, Celestalon gave it the, what is it when everyone notices it and they normally wouldn't before? God, I suck with words. And I'm a writer. the exposure.
Okay.
Here we go. I get to it at some point. So, yeah, I'm really good.
You know, when you're writing, you get to think about it and
right.
you get to process.
I'm really good at taboo the game. I can describe any word. anyway, it was nice that he gave it exposure, right? And made this topic come around again a little bit more than if it was just me promoting it in Blizzard Watch. So, and of course, Blizzard Watch for being a fantastic news source. For all these people and letting me contribute an occasional little article. So I appreciate that. Yay! I hope I covered everybody.
All right. Well, before we wrap this up, can you let us know where to reach you if we have any other questions?
Yes. I'm at Ask Mr. Robot and at Zupercat on Twitter, but I spend most of my time helping Mr. Robot on his account because, you know, sometimes human language translation tricks him. So I spend a lot of time helping him. And then askmrrobot.com. And we're also on Facebook. It's like facebook.com/askmrrobot. But Twitter's probably the best spot.
Well, I believe that wraps up episode 115 of the Training Dummies podcast. You can find this show and past episodes over on iTunes, Stitcher, and thetrainingdummies.com. So until next time.
It's advice you can trust.
Woo!
From people you shouldn't.
Woo!